Let's go to what is a green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit, that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is told with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no contradiction. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction. There is no contradiction. Oh, glory to God. There is no contradiction. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Matthew's gospel. Let's continue the series we started. Christian meetings. Matthew's gospel 18. Christian meetings. Christian meetings. Christian meetings. Matthew's gospel 18. Matthew's gospel 18, verse 20. Look at Matthew's gospel 18, verse 20. Now, it says something very important there. It says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There am I in the midst of them. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So what are we looking at? We're looking at what you call Christian meetings, right? We're looking at Christian meetings. What exactly is it about Christian meetings? How do you prepare for Christian meetings? How do you attend Christian meetings? And what are Christian meetings? One of the highlights of this teaching will be around what exactly is it about special meetings as well, right? So wherever two or three are gathered in. Now, we said the word their name doesn't speak about J-E-S-U-S. Give me a J, J. Yeah, you know that song? Or that chant, is it chant? I'll call it now. Right? Give me a J, J. Give me an E-E, superstitious S. Excellent. Yeah, so, when they say, people use J-E-S-U-S to cut cake. Is that correct?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, J-E-S-U-S. In the name of J-E-S-U-S, what do you call the cake? You know, but the name of Jesus really is about his, what? Presence. We said that, is that correct? Is that his identity, his work, his function, right? His authority, right? So wherever two or three are gathered, in my name, there am I. So we see that name will speak about function. We spoke about a series that we're doing on the side, your various cells, right? Matthew's gospel 20, verse 18, we say, and Jesus came and spoke to them, and said, go into all the world and preach and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of time. Right? So we see that Jesus gives an assurance of the fact that he is with us. Say, Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Say, Jesus is with me.
Jesus is with me.
Right? So Jesus is with us. Now, we said something last week. We said that if we understand that Jesus is with us, it means our understanding of theology around... Okay, was it on Wednesday or something about theology, logy?
Wednesday,
right? Okay. Yeah, so on Wednesday, we're looking at, your eschatology. Is that correct? We spoke about eschatology, Christology, soteriology, bibliology. What again? These people, theology, pneumatology, right? I would say that all of those logies in the real sense, right, we need to be able to have a firm grasp of what Christology are we together, then pneumatology, and that will help in the others. So if your form of Christology or your knowledge in Christology is that Jesus is with you, and he says he will not leave you nor forsake you, it means that by default, your eschatology should accept or agree with that. What am I saying? Eschatology. What was eschatology? Last day. Last day's event, right? Yeah? What we call the last day event, right? So eschatology, we speak about last day. So one of the fundamental subtopics you find there is the second coming of Jesus. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So if your Christology says that Jesus is with you, your eschatology should not conclude that Jesus is not with you. Are you with me? So your teaching of the second coming must align to your teaching of what is your Christology. Are we together? At least that one we know. Jesus has said it. I am with you. So the conclusion of the Christology should be that Jesus is with you. That Christ is with you. You are in Christ, him in you. Are we together? So if that one is certain from the pages of scriptures, it means that when it comes to the teaching on eschatology, which is that the ones we are not sure about, our conclusion, even if we will, if at all we will get a conclusion, must align with our understanding of Christology. Are we together? Say Jesus is with me.
Jesus is here.
Say, Jesus is here.
Jesus is here.
Yeah? And Jesus now says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there in their midst I am. Are we together? So we said that Nate will speak about presence. Nate will speak about the work of the Father, right? His reputation. Now, we also looked at John 13, when he spoke about the fathers and many mansions. Right? We looked at the word mansions and spoke about how that word, you know, better can be interpreted as dwelling places. We also saw in verse 16, go to John's Gospel 14, 16. John's Gospel 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Right? Now, we said the word there, another comforter. The word another is from the word what? Alos. Is that correct? Alos. That's the word alos. Another is the word alos. I would say the word alos speaks about the same. Are we together? The same. Now, who is the comforter? Who is the comforter? Who is the comforter? If you followed on Wednesday, you should be able to answer that question differently. So, on the ideology of man, generally, who is the comforter? The Holy Spirit. What we taught on Wednesday is the fact that the comforter is an embodiment of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Are we together? How do we know that? If you jump all the way to verse 20, verse 18, Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Right? Look at 1 John chapter 2. We're looking at Christian meetings. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2 1. My little children, 1 John 2 1. Just recap it. These things write down to thee that ye sin not. And if any man should sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have an advocate with the Father. You see that word advocate? Are you in your Bible? The word advocate is similar to that word comforter. Are we together? But who did John say is the comforter or the advocate? Huh? Jesus Christ the righteous. Right? And he is the propitiation for our sins, not only ours, but also for the sins of the world. Are we together? Right? So remember, you must always understand interpretation of scriptures. Is that correct? And in interpretation, you must always what? Translate. That's how we got to that conclusion. When you look at comforter, look at alos. When you look at advocate, alos will speak about the same. That which is of the same. Are we together? Then comforter will speak about, like, you know, similar to that word as well, advocate in 1 John 2. And, you know, John calls, you know, the advocate Jesus Christ the righteous. Are we together? You look through Colossians 2. You can write this down. Somebody said that already. Colossians 2 verse 9. Right? Yeah, Colossians 2 verse 9. In him dwells the Godhead body. Are we together? Right? So Jesus says, I'm with you always. Are we together? I'm with you always. That means what we call the second coming, like we said earlier on, needs to be what? Re-examined. Together, right? Now, we also give an example, right? A friend a lot of times stays with you till you misbehave more often than not, or let's just say a lot of times. Are we together? So when someone is saying, I've got your back, I'm with you, I have you, I'm going to stay with you till the last breath, a lot of times what they are saying without saying is that, well, it's until you misbehave. Until you what? Misbehave, until you behave wildly, until you do certain things. But guess what? You know, the faithfulness of God is such that whatever he says is what he will do. So if Jesus says, I'm with you always, that's regardless of your faithfulness. Are we together? Right? You see, for friendship with our, you know, spouses, friends, that's why, let me say this carefully now. When you see somebody who claims to like you or love you more than they love God, you're in trouble. Let me say that clearly. When you see somebody who claims to love you or like you more than they like God, you're in trouble. Why is that? It's simple. Yeah? God is the only one that shows a faithful kind of love. So despite your unfaithfulness, God still remains. How many people can actually stay with you when you're unfaithful? Think about it that way. Let's get that. You know, when you think about wedding ceremonies, they do vows, right? We hold to bond, to do, and to this thing. And sometimes, yes, stories of from the wedding ground is when one of them went to go and misbehave. Wedding ground, from the day of the wedding. And together, right? So I'm saying, you don't know the extent of your misbehavior that is above the pay grade of your partner. Do you know what I said? Yeah? You can claim that no matter what, I will stay with you. right? For instance, there's a lady who, you know, two actresses, you know, in Nigeria, bless her heart, she's been with her husband who has been going through some, you know, things recently, you know, and she has stayed all through for years. Well, we don't find out that there are so many other stories as well of people who say that the moment, you know, their partner stops being able to move from left to right, they begin to look after. Yeah? So I'm trying to say that because you don't know what, so you can say, ah, what's the worst thing that my husband can do to me? What's the worst thing my wife can do to me that I cannot forgive? And I've told you before, you should not have that mindset. Right? But I'm saying, let's even assume that that's your ideology. You know that whatever you think about as the answer to that question, the truth is that there's a tendency that the person you are looking at might even go above and beyond. Are we together? And in all of the above and beyond, right, is expected that you remain faithful. Yeah? Man, by default, will respond to faithfulness of the other. That's how life is programmed. And that's why you see it's not far-fetched when you see the concept of cancel culture in our world. Somebody who is your role model, somebody who you looked up to as a model, you just hear a rumor. Rumor you've not confirmed. Rumor that there's no evidence. Rumor that there's no truth about it. All of a sudden, you just say, hey, I don't associate to. You go and take down the person's scripture from your profile. Are we together? But God is the one that he stays faithful regardless. So when somebody's telling you that I love when I love God, I love when I love him, they are whining you. It's a whine. You know what I call whine? They are just toying with your emotion. Yeah? Because the truth is that even God who stays faithful, people believe him. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
People leave and turn their back and say, no, I'm not doing it again. That's why it's safer for you as a person, right? When you are getting married to a partner, I don't know how you get it to this point, but let's ensure that the person you are getting involved with has a heart for God, has a heart for the things of God. Because that's what will boomerang in every other thing downwards. Altogether. So Jesus will say, I'm with you always. And him being with us is the fact that he is the comforter that will never leave us. The advocate that will never leave us. Are we together? Right? So, and with you always is an assurance that we get from Jesus, Jesus, you know, our Savior. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. So, when you see the Bible teach about, let's even say this way differently. When you see the teachings of the second coming, you know, let me try and look, use an example of that. You know, Pastor usually used to explain that. He usually talk about an example of a wedding. You know how we do weddings for people who are, you know, from certain parts of the world, where you have court wedding. Mm-hmm. No, before court wedding, you have introduction wedding. I hope you know introduction is a wedding too. We have introduction wedding, then we have court wedding, then we have what?
Traditional
wedding. Then we have what? White wedding. Then we have reception, because reception is a wedding on its own. We have reception wedding. Right, reception wedding, that's where you see people let loose. Somebody who cannot say glory in church, you see them raise their trousers and start dancing and letting loose. And you say that, no, just that, you know, they have to go, we're just comforted. Right? Now, when you see somebody who, now, when you get married to your partner, for instance, your husband and wife, right, and you are done with the court, the next time when you come and present yourself to other people, right, you know, you might change your attire and have a different look. Like I call that traditional wedding. Right? Then people will be waiting. Then you will go again and come back and wear suit and white gown. Are we together? Then people will be waiting. Then you will go in again, then come out with what?
Reception dress.
Dress that will make you, you know, that's when you say our ladies with slippers and they wear masks and they don't can't find themselves walking together. Are we together? Right? But you see that there is a consistency of the fact that you, the people who are getting married, are the same people. But the appearance is different. Are we here? The appearance each time is different. So imagine the first one is white wedding, the second coming. So when you are coming the second time, what are we saying? Second coming. But in saying second coming, we're actually just seeing your appearance in a different form. Are you following me? Think about a soldier, a president. You know, presidents have two wings. There's the military, and what's the second part? Is it civil? I'm trying to see if that's a word. Is it civil? Civic? Whatever. Well, but you know, a president can dress as a military man. And let's say he has an event in a country, and he goes and wears their clothes. Let's examine the president of the United States, right? He can wear a military attire, right? And let's say he has an event in the morning. Then in the evening, he loves to change his clothes, right? His changing his clothes does not change him as a person. But his appearance in the minds of people is different. So it means we'll rather see the second coming of Jesus as a second appearance. Are we here? An appearance that is different from what is known. Are you with me? Not as much a coming because he disappeared. You get the point? So that should be the conclusion of your eschatology. Yeah? So whatever I say, Trumpet, blow trumpet, don't blow whistle, blow flute, or anything that blows. Right? You must ensure that you see that whatever your conclusion is not different from what your conclusion is in Christology. Right? Because we've already seen that in Christology, Christ says, I'm with you and I'm with you always. So his faithfulness remains ever sure. Are we together? His faithfulness remains ever sure. So one of the things again we saw as well is that in Psalm 103, that you know Moses knew the ways of God, and the Israelites knew what? They saw the acts now. Is that correct? Yeah, the way of God, the ways of God, the word their way, you said is the word direct, is the word that just speaks about his plan. So Moses knew about the plan of God, right? And the children of Israel experienced the acts. So can people experience the acts of God without understanding his plan?
Yes.
Yes. Because acts speak about miracles, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and the children of Israel, right? The Israelites, they experience miracles. People today experience miracles, is that correct?
Yes.
And you know, people, you know, sometimes, you think that when people experience some strange supernatural miracles, if you push them to wanting to understand God's plan on the earth. I hope you know, no matter how strange your miracle is, no matter how strange it seems or sounds, the fact remains that you must ensure that the message does not become your miracle. The message is still the message. Altogether, the message is still the message. The message is still the message. So, Moses will know the ways of God, the way of God, the plan. Are we together? What is plan exactly speaking about? What is God doing in the earth? What exactly is God doing in the earth? Right? Now, we said that one of the things you must understand as well is that man is God's method. Man is God's method. Man is God's method. Man is God's method. Altogether, man is God's method. Man is God's method. Who did God use to lead the Israelites out of Egypt? A man. Who did God use to take the Israelites into the promised land?
A
man. So even when Moses, the first man, for instance, got tired, the substitute was not the strength of God and the strength of God alone, but was the strength of God through another man. Are we together? Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
The strength of God through another man. So it means that man, if you miss man, you miss God. Mm-hmm. Write that to your notes. If you miss man, you will miss God. If you want to know what God is doing in the earth, you will look amongst men. You will look amongst men to know what God is doing in the earth. You will look amongst men to know what God is doing in the earth. Altogether. So when you see people saying things like, oh, I'm a self-made man. There's nobody who is self-made. How many of you have friends who say things like, human beings are so terrible? You know, sometimes you read some people's WhatsApp status and you'll be like, is this person adding me to this? Is this person adding me to this congregation? Right? Say humans, fear men. You've not interacted with more than two people here, and you two, they say you should find a boyfriend. You went to club to find. The one in club now decided to make you fearfully made. You don't say people should fear him. Or fear her. Are we together? You two, they say you should look at your eyes and open church to see a woman or say a man. You get to church to come and look for a brother, forgetting that everybody in church is not everybody that is stable. You don't understand. You know, I remember, is it Pastor Arebu, Reverend Arebu, and Oshola gave this example. He said the church as a center, as a hospital with different kinds of patients. Altogether. You see, so people, you know what they say, many are mad, few are roaming. Say, many are mad, few are roaming. Right? Right. So, now, what are they communicating with that? You see, the truth is that if There are some things that it's just a spark that is needed for someone to spark for you. I think I see some people just behave in some ways and be like, I didn't know you had this in you. You know, it's just like when you get married, for instance, right? And when you just, you know, and you know, I was doing some questions with some people recently, and I told them, I said, see, you don't know yourself. You don't know yourself. Go and spend money and do party. Let's come and eat rice. But I tell you, the day your surname changes, and the day you move into a house, you start seeing. I was getting. Now, I'm not saying that everything you see will be terrible. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying you will see. That you will not see is not an assurance. You can't fight it anyway. You will see something. Right? Most of the time, you just see somebody just behave and be like, I didn't even know this was in you, man. I didn't know this was in you, sir. Are we together? Right, so I'm trying to say that even with that, the truth is that you will still need a man. What I mean, man, another human. So God has made our fulfillment in life to be dependent on relationships. Very important. God has made the fulfillment of our lives, our purposes, our destiny on the earth to be dependent on men, on relationships, on other people. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? So you need to ensure that you have a good approach towards relationships. That's why you can't be somebody who's always cutting people off. You can't be cutting people off. Every small thing, cut off. Every small thing, cut off. You know, I had an example recently, a couple of years. I just realized that there was this particular family, right, who they were, you know, I was privy to sending information, right, and I found out that for every time we speak about another relationship with another person, that is their relationship with another person, they are always cutting people off. And there is not a single time I saw that they admitted that they were at fault. Not once. I count 5 to 6 within 3 years. Tell me something I say.
No.
Right? And what I told myself is that these people will soon cut me off. And guess what? As prophecy, it has happened. It has happened. Right? When you think you are the perfect person, that's why it's very important. When you have issues with people, as much as you are apologizing, ensure you are understanding why you are apologizing. Or ensure you're understanding why the person you offended is offended. Else, you might repeat the same thing again. That's how you approach relationships. So when you have friends, I'm telling you for free, this family I'm talking about did not just happen for the first time. I've seen it happen over time. And yeah, trust me, what I mean, I've met people into their thousands. That's the truth. Altogether, I've met people into their proper thousands. Altogether, an average of my contact from 10 years ago, the least number of contacts I have in my contact box is like 5,000 numbers. I'm not talking about plumber, carpenter, people that are working for me, talking about people who I know. And you understand, right? So, but I've seen people, and I've seen because they say, oh, where is that seeing people who are always looking? Every time they tell you a story, and there's nothing they can own up to as what they've done that is also wrong, it's a problem. Is just waiting for that time for you to do something as well, they'll cut you off. Are we together? Right? So, you need to ensure that you have an understanding of relationships. Are we together? You must understand that relationship. And like I was saying, if we don't step on ourselves, it means we're not walking close enough. If I'm walking on this path and you're walking on that path, can you step on me? Even if you stretch your leg, you can't step on me. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right, so when two or three are gathered, it means there will be a relationship. Right, there will be a relationship. There will be conversations that need to start and continue. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
So when it comes to the church as well and God's will on the earth, right, there's something called the gathering of people who are in a relationship. The coming together of people who are in a relationship. The coming together of people who are in a relationship. That's what led to the series we are doing today. For instance, Christian meetings. You can call it Christian gatherings or Christian coming together. Are we together? Right? Very, very, very important. Very, very important. You see, God has designed human race to be dependent on ourselves, for us to be dependent on ourselves. All together. You know, the Bible tells you that, you know, Adam was created and he saw Eve and he said, this is the bone of my bone, flesh, my flesh. Yeah, well, the concept of bone and bone, flesh, and flesh should not necessarily point attention more to the marriage angle alone. But what you should see from that conversation is, this is somebody I can relate with. are we together? Then when it comes to childbearing, for instance, you realize as a man, you are not self-sufficient. As a woman, you are not self-sufficient. That in itself is just showing you how God... So God will create humanity in pairs to show a need for relationship. No matter how... There's nobody in this world that has gone to the age, to the state of perfection. You say, I'm perfect. And that's why you need to also be careful with people who don't give room for growth. People who always claim that they have their way, their method. You need to be very careful with those kind of people. Why? Because by default, we are deficient. Altogether, Pastor Shekou will always say, by default, human beings are deficient by nature and sufficient by association. Altogether, we are deficient by nature. There is something else you need that is not in you. It is in somebody else. There is something else you need that is not in you, that is in somebody else. God has put it into somebody else. Altogether. So, there's nobody in this life who gets successful without any others. Are we here?
Yes,
nobody in this life gets successful. See, no matter how much I try to pastor and pastor and pastor, if there are no people to listen to me, what am I doing? I'm building myself in my most holy faith. Are we together? Right? No matter how much you say, I don't need people, I need people. When you want to sell something, people that will buy it. Even the richest man in the world needs people. Are we together? The owner of Microsoft, yes, he's the owner of Microsoft, but he's not the one that does the programming. He's not the one that does the business change, the people impact assessment. He's not the one that does the project plan. We all need people. We all need people. Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Right? So, when God was creating the world, he had that in mind, that men will relate with themselves. So, in our relationship with what we call Christian meetings, there are two ways to be a part of a Christian meeting. There are two ways to be part of Christian meeting. There are two ways to be a part of Christian meeting. Number one, participating by observation. And participating by responding. Or acting. You can say participating by observation or participating by acting or responding. All together. You can participate by observation. I know when I say participate by observation, it's just a figure of speech. Because if you are only observing, you are not participating. Did you get the point?
Yes,
right? So participating by observation is a figurative way of saying that you are not doing anything really, you are just observing. Are we together? And there's participation by action. Right? So when we are together, you can come around and just be observing. You know, some of us say, if we ask some of us to describe how other people pray, we know. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
If you ask someone to describe how does Sister Esther pray, they say she hold the mic like this. They say she hold the mic like this. Yeah. How does Sister JT pray? They say, Sister JT is this way. How do you pray? You pray how other people know how to pray. In your knowledge. Yeah? So, you see people say that, it's just like in Acts chapter 1. You have people who observed what was happening in Pentecost. And there were those who acted in Acts 2. Is that correct?
Yeah.
There were those who came and said, they're speaking like language familiar to our language. Those are people who are what? Observing. And there are those who are always on the edge. So, it means that when we come to church, when we are together, there's an attitude you must have. And it must be the attitude of one who is on the edge, waiting to act, waiting to respond. So you don't come to meetings, like a desk and just say, just want to gather on Sunday. No, you come with a mindset waiting to be on the edge. You know how it is when you want to. Have you seen this video where when people want to practice stealing?
Yeah.
You see that video,
yes.
Right? When he started from a man that wanted to catch a chicken, you know, and he stole like this, did like this, and he caught the chicken and he ran away and he stole it. Yeah, the people started using their home. Yeah, you know somebody who does go to their room, they drop it. And what are they trying to practice? When somebody wants to put food in their mouth, you not see the video. You see the video, right? You want to practice, you want to steal. Yeah? So you want to steal, you just be around somebody. But before the person wants to put the food, maybe a piece of meat, right? Before the person wants to put your mouth, you want to first rehearse. So you go to the back of the, on your private feet. You just gonna pick a cup. Drop it down. Yeah, but when you and the person now start together, you know, the person is now putting the food in your mouth. You've calculated the distance and the time. Before the thing gets here, you just snatch it. The only way you can collect that thing eventually from somebody is by being on the edge. Mm. Are we together? Mm. You know, there's an attitude you should have towards church or in church that puts you on the edge. Are we together?
Yes,
yeah. You know how if you want to, if you say, if you say first to touch this wall, yeah. If I say first to touch this wall, okay. Let me see this way. Have you not found out? Have you not seen runners when they are running? On your mark, get set. Why did they do that position? So that once they hear, boom, you can go. They take off. Are we together? And more often than not, they will take off with maybe their strongest leg, and they'll just the leg that will just get in front so that they can. Yeah, but look at the mindset. You didn't say on your mark, you do like this. Is that correct? You didn't say on your mark, you just relax. On your mark, right, you put your hands, you are ready to take off. That's the posture you have in church as well. Are we together? Right? When pastor wants to say, one person come here, for instance, you are there. Are we together?
Yes,
are we here?
Yes, sir.
Right? You know, there's a you know, one of the unfortunate things our world is doing to us. Let me tell you something. Right? Because we are teaching that we are all having the same Spirit of God, it makes us reduce the impact and the blessings and possibilities we can get from specific people that are persuaded to give certain things within the body of Christ. Do you hear what I just said? I'll say it again. Right? It's very easy for us to, you know, to forget. Are we together? You know, there's a way hands want to be laid on you, and you just be casual. Just drop the hand. Who loses on that matter?
You.
It's you. Are we together? Who loses? It's you. Are we together? Right? So there's a way. Pastor is teaching and is asking a question, right? And you are active and you are there. And you are responding. Right? So you must understand that when it comes to meetings, there are two ways you can participate by acting. So when you come to a church, people are praying in tongues. What do? You pray in tongues. You know that that is not limited to your local church. It's anywhere in the world you find yourself. Yeah? You get into the flow. You jump into the flow. Are we together? Right? So there's a way you respond and we'll just know you're an observer. There's a way you respond, we'll know. So that's why we need to teach these things. Because a believer should be able to participate in meetings. Right? A believer should be able to participate in meetings. Are we together? One of God's ways is that He will use meetings. Since He's going to use men, it means that God will use meetings. Very important to note, since we've agreed that man will be God's method, right? It means that God will use meetings. God will use, because who are people in the meetings? Men. Look at Matthew's Gospel 18 quickly. Matthew's Gospel 18, 15. He says, moreover, if thy brother, Matthew, Gospel 18, 15. Are you there? Now, he says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, what should happen? Go out what?
Go and
tell him his fault. Between who and who? Thee and him alone. Okay, so what's the process when somebody offends you? Let me ask you a question. Why should somebody offend you? Because you are working together. You are humans. Are we together? You see, somebody in another church cannot offend you. Let me say differently. I'm saying when it comes to teaching, right? So let's assume there's something somebody here is doing that offends you. Yeah? Somebody in another church cannot do something in their church that will offend me here, except they bring it to my knowledge. Are we together?
Yes,
so, will people offend you?
Yes, sir.
Who in this world will not offend?
Nobody.
Let me ask you a question. Who is the most perfect human being you've ever seen in this world as a man?
Nobody.
No. Who? As a man.
Jesus.
Okay, have you heard about? Who is the most perfect human being you've heard about in your life and history?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Okay? Do you think people offended him?
Yes.
Do you think he offended people?
Yes.
So who will not be offended in this world?
Nobody.
Who will not offend others in this world?
Nobody.
Do you understand? Listen to this. We are accepting that there is no how you will not offend another person. But in every relationship that you have with people, they are always the one offending you. There's nothing you've done. That's a problem. That's pride. That's ego. Listen, that's pride. That's ego. You know that even Jesus offended. But you claim you don't offend anybody. Okay, what did they do to you? They did not tell me that they bought a new car. I just saw it with them. Okay? They're laughing. You know people get upset at this. Why were you driving without allowing me to know? As if they're waiting to buy fuel for the car. I'm waiting to charge diesel for you. Right? People say, why? So she's pregnant. You don't mean it. I don't understand. You don't mean what? Do you understand? You change job. You don't mean. Now, I'm trying to tell you that even us that are laughing here, there are people who we hold in a form of esteem around us. Yeah. Who if they do this thing to us, it will choke you. I'm laughing for you. I'm laughing for you.
Need to see.
Hey, or you just look home and just say, hey. Wait. Bro, see. Guess what? Say what? You say what? You don't understand, though. Do you notice that Esther is now using a new phone? You don't mean it. You know, I'm trying to say, even if you get your mind to that point and that affects you or that gets to you, try to walk your mind back to normality. You know, the reason why people behave that way is because we all have expectations.
Yeah. Yes.
Is it wrong to have expectations? Yeah. No, it's not wrong. See, some people careful. There's some people that, you know, can forget things. And some people you forget on certain matters. Not because you don't like them, but just forgot. Somebody will now polish that and say, hey, they don't mean a lot to you. But it's not always like that. Can you in no sense forget somebody?
Yes.
You can.
Yes.
You can. That's the truth. You can. You know, I remember a couple years ago, this was me before. Right, I used to check up on people so much. How to be a human being? We're together. How to be a human being? Yeah? How to be a human being? Over a year ago, I had to take out my phone and remove over 1,000 activities. I'm not exaggerating. Over 1,000. In that day, it was 1,000. When I got to my recycle bin to delete and I marked all, it told me the number. I have a life, right? So it means I've finished rather than send people I would rather not talk for the next 10 years. Not because I have an issue with them, but because mates have moved on, man. I'm actually growing. And that doesn't mean you're going to be detailed, but they're not catching up with people. That's what I'm saying, you know. You know, but you know, for people like that, the certain times that, you know, they'll just drop on my heart, I'll just pray for them. Some of them, I can reach out to them and send a message to them. But one thing I've understood is people have expectation. Let me tell you, have you heard me say talk about how I know nothing less than 500 people, for instance, who in the last 5 to 10 years, it would always differ, some 5, some 10 years, every year on their birthday, I've wished them a happy birthday. And in 10 years, they've never said HPD to me. It used to get to me a couple years ago. I'm like, don't you feel ashamed? The last message I sent to you was last year, your birthday. The next, and the last one before then was the previous birthday. And my own was after your own. And there's no how you don't know people who know me, who you would have known. So I'm trying to tell you how I was thinking. But I have to tell myself, HVG, eat it. If you like, message me. If you like, don't message me. I thought that my wife message me. I thought my family message me. I thought that my church will say, at least they remember that today is your birthday. That's what matters. I'm trying to say that you will need to start reworking your expectations with people. That's what will help you accept relationships and grow. Very important. Very important. Very, very important. You need to start reworking your expectations. It's for your sanity. Amen?
Amen.
It's for your sanity. is for your sanity. Right? For sanity. So when we are dealing with people, we are dealing with relationships, right? We need to expect. So the Bible will say that if anyone will offend you, go and speak to him or the other. So who is the first person you tell somebody's faults to? Are we in God's palace? So
yes,
who is the first person you tell somebody's faults to?
The person.
The victim.
Yeah.
Or the victor. Depending on how you look at it. Are we together?
Yeah.
The moment, now, it's a different thing for you to reach out to somebody to ask about what they think is the best way to present it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though sometimes they're just looking for gossip.
Mm.
You understand? If you see what... I don't say you should not be friends with her, but if you see what she said to me. I'm just asking you, how do you think is the godly way to go about it? How do you think is the Christian way I can just speak to her about it? In that, what I've done, I've gisted you the full gist.
Mm.
Just like people who say, brother, Olamide is going through.
Mm.
I going to. I won't say much. That thing you said is that small. You say, or even you said you are the only silly side. So we say, let's pray for Brother Lamide. You know, say, hey, is everything okay? You say, let's just pray for him. Let's assume he now goes further and just say, maybe in his work. Hope he's not seen the many ways. I want to know the kind of prayer. I want to know where to direct the prayer.
You are just a gossiper.
What do you need to know about that prayer? What to channel your energy? So what we now start the place of prayer? Redundancy? No. Redundancy? No. Is that what you've been saying? Right? So the first thing you do, as much as possible, it sounds like a funny thing, but you know, if we approach this life this way, you know people hate people for not knowing why they hate people. Do you understand? You've not had an experience with someone. Because someone had a bad experience, that now becomes your new experience. That's the experience. Right? 2025. Right? And you now use that experience and approach. Now, that's not saying that if someone who you trust, for instance, is sending things to you in confidentiality, you should now say, there's nothing that's confidentiality or everything. You know, in your documents, in your office page, they always tell you confidential use only. Mm-hmm. Even your PowerPoint slide. And some of you have your personal computer. You probably so that the day you leave, you will use that template to design. Yeah, you're laughing. You say, okay. You're laughing. Right? So today you leave, you just finish coffee. Now got open company. You now say it's your consultant. Just move confidential use only. Just delete it. Right? And just put your logo. Behind it. I'm not going to say that, you know, there are certain things that, you know, if you don't hear, you might not act on. Yeah? So what's the first thing you do when someone faults you? Look at what it says. Between thee and him. Bible uses the word alone. Between him and thee alone. If he shall hear thee, what have you done? Thou hast gained your brother. Look at verse 16. Let's together. 1, 2, 3, go.
But if he will not
hear you,
take with you
two or one more. That the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, what happens?
Tell it to the church.
Now, but if what? If he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen and a publican. Are we together? Right? So, what is the process? You and the person. What's the next process?
One or two more.
How many people did you say there?
Two more.
Take with thee one or two more. So one or two more. You know you must be able to know who your one or two more are.
Yeah.
Are we together? Because there are some one or two more. When you take them to that matter, they are 20. And the way they will turn the story, even you that you offended, the thing you did not see in the matter, you begin to see it. You know that people that have this, they have 20 perspectives to a thing. You that you not even see. You say, you not even see that angle. You not even see that. You don't see that perspective. See, we're here to make this. No. You must know the two. You know, and when it comes to local churches, one of the things you can do as well is let your leaders know first. So they can be the one to recommend one or two more. You don't do one or two more because you people started joining together because you met. You started becoming friends 3 weeks ago. You know, in this church, nobody knows everybody more than I do. I hope you know that. As we keep growing, it will be impossible for me to say it because our numbers will keep growing. And that's why there will be leaders. I will now be able to know you through your leader. Are we together? Right? There's some people like this, eh? Yeah? I've been in a situation where two different sisters have reached out to me on one brother. Say no. You adjusted your seat. His brother. Two different sisters on a brother. You know, and the two of them were saying it's God's will for them. And I realized that was one of the first times I had to teach about it in church. Just because there's some things you would just, because you know, people a lot of times they show you the good side of their life. Are we together? Yeah? They show you a good side. So what happens to a lot of us is we fall in love with the good side. Are we together? Until something happens. So one or two, they're not the one that will choose the one or two, especially if it's a church matter. Do you understand? If it's friends, you can have some friends who are mutual friends with you. But you must also, I hope you know, you should be able to know the kind of friends who you can be able to put some matters in their hand. I should be able to have an issue with you, for instance, and I should be able to have one person I know that if I send him or her to you, right, he will not turn the story on you and come back and turn it back on me. Are we together? No, it happens frequently. Yeah, but if you notice where I'm driving at here, Bible says that after you speak to them, then do one or two. What's the next one? The church. But if it doesn't happen, the church will happen, you treat it as a heathen. So nothing, a decision is not made on that relationship when the church is involved. Did you see that? Look at it again. It says, and if you shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. And if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So there's no final decision until the assembly, until the church, until the gathering of saints. So now you see a consistent pattern of God using relationships. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but what? Saul doubted. Look at verse 16, where my emphasis is. 11 disciples went away into where?
Galilee.
Into a what?
A
mountain where Jesus had appointed them. What does that mean? That means Jesus gave them a place to meet. Look at that. That's King James language. Right? Where he had appointed them, it doesn't mean that that's where he now appointed them for ministry. No. It's that that's where he told them to meet with him. Are we together? You know, if you look through Jesus' ministry, more often than not, most times, if you ever say that, everything he will say will be in the midst of people. Only on a few occasions, he will call Peter, for instance, aside. I say, therefore, I decided to have all of you. He wants to speak to you like this. Right? But I pray for you. When thou art strengthened, what happens? Strengthen thy brethren. I always get that. Or the second time when you say, feed my sheep, feed my lamb. Right? But you see consistently, you see Jesus meeting with them in a place. So Jesus said, 11 of you meet me in so and so place. What happened? When they saw him, they what? They worshiped him. So it means that a believer must develop the intelligence to know that God operates with places. Okay? We've understood God operates with man. In God's operation with man, God operates with relationships. In God's operation with relationship, he operates with places. So there are certain places where we will come into on account of our relationship. Very important to us. So Jesus asked them, meet me in a place. Meet me in so and so place. Now, when people saw them going to that place, or when people see them in that meeting place, is it possible the meeting place might look ordinary? But was something supernatural happening there?
Yes.
So a meeting place can feel or look ordinary. We must have the intelligence to know that it's not ordinary. For where two or three are gathered. Are we together? For where two or three are gathered. Right? So like I said earlier, God has made humans in pair. We have male and female. What is that showing? That is to show the importance of relationship. Like we said earlier on, no matter how masculine your manly nature is, you cannot be pregnant and give birth on your own. That's why it beats imagination. Do you understand that even God trying to beat imagination, there's still an involvement of supernatural? right? An interaction, right? A relationship, so to say, right? You see, Mary will be entrusted to Joseph. Betrothed, is that the word? Right? And you see that even that beats Nazareth. But other than that, you don't have any other history or record of a woman giving birth without what? A lover. Are we together? Are we here together? So it's very important for you to know that God has made man or humanity in pairs. And that's just to show that we need ourselves. We need the relationship. So write this to your note. God has put in another person something I need. God has put in another person something I need. Oh, what a treasure I have found in this family of God. All that I need is here in this community. Right here, you have planted me right here. And are building me right here. To the gift of man to fulfill your plan right here. Everything I ever need, you have supplied through man right here. See, what you need is another. Don't let anybody deceive you that you are self-sufficient, that you are self-made. There is not a single person who is self-made. Not a single person who is self-sufficient. And we're together. Like I said, right? By design, we are deficient, then sufficient by association. Very important for you to know. There's not one person on the earth that has everything that they need in this life. Not one. Not one single person. Are we together? Right? Not one single person. So we need people. We need men. It means we need interactions. It means we need gatherings. We need people together. Are we together? So God has called man to be in relationship with him by being in relationship with who? Other men. Know that as well. God has called man to be in relationship. Do you understand how scriptures will talk about how, you know, and Paul will write to the people and say, I've understood of sin ahead of your love towards God. That is your love towards the saints. So we understand our relationship with God when we see our relationship with men. So your private devotion and Christian gathering, which one is more important? Your Christian gathering and your Christian devotion, which one is more important? You cannot have an efficient Christian devotion that does not emanate or stem from a place of Christian gathering. It is Christian gathering that fuels your Christian devotion. Do you understand how we come here together right now? By default, I'm working on your minds ahead of the week. Do you understand? Ahead of the week, for instance, you will now see a need to preach to another. What influences that? You know it's difficult to read your Bible, and all of, by just reading your Bible, you just know that you need to win souls. You will read it though. But it will skip you, and you will skip it. Are we together? Right? So when you want to know what God is doing in the earth, what will you look at? Look at men. The activities of God will be found and seen within and amongst the activities of men. So God has called man to be in a relationship with him by being in a relationship with other men. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. See what it says there. Verse 13. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Is that correct? Whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into what? One spirit. Let's put it together. 1, 2, 3, go. For the body is not one member, but what? But many. So we've been baptized into one body, into one family, into one spirit. Are we together? So when you look at yourself in relationship with another person, what you can see is like a pair of shoes. Is that correct? Yeah? Can you buy a pair? I don't know if you go to the market and go and buy one shoe. I'm going to buy one leg of a shoe. Yeah, tell you that I want to buy one shoe. Really, what's the expensive? What? Give me an example of an expensive shoe. Balenciaga. You know, there's Balenciaga and there's Balenciaga. There's Balenciaga. Yeah, Balenciaga is what is one that when they spell it, you're already in the shake. Right? And there's Balenciaga. right? You understand Balenciaga in our world by the people who are wearing it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see somebody wearing Balenciaga right now, right? And you know this cannot be original in your mind, right? But you know there are some people that will be wearing it, and you might think it's fake, but it's original. Are we together? It's possible. Deal with relationships, right? So imagine you go and buy a Balenciaga, and tell you this Balenciaga is like £2,000. Are we together? And you say, can I just buy one leg? You do that.
Yes,
just buy one leg. Then when you now buy the one leg, you now start wearing it to the other one black socks. And you now start limping. They are bouncing. Yeah? I say, you just what? Because the shoe will go together as a pair. Are we together? Right? And for instance, you can look at relationships between male and female that way as well. Right? There will be an approach you will have. The right approach you would have, you know, that would actually make you understand that a left leg of shoe is not complete without the right one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why you see when they want to sell it in some stores, maybe from part of the world where I come from, they only put the one leg at the front. They put one leg at the front. And they will put the other leg in a place where only them know. Where you even when I sack the shop, you will know. In fact, there's a new one right now. They put the second leg in that person's shop. So they just tell you, my brother has it. Nobody just open two shops. One is for left leg, one is for right leg. When you want to steal for, when you want to buy one, you have to run to the second shop. Don't worry, it's a second shop. It is a second shop. Second shop, and they come, and they come. Yeah. Right, quickly run to the second shop. I can't bring second leg. Why do you do that? So that even if you steal it, there's nothing you can do with it. Mm-hmm. All together. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you can do with it. But people are very mean, very mean. You know, you can steal original leg. I'm going to buy the fake leg. At the same side, I'm mesh together. I sell as one on Vinted. Is it Vinted? I sell as one. And what you advertise is the original leg. We together until they wear it. After they wear it, they think it's original. Wear it every day. After 2 weeks, you realize that one is opening. You realize that one is balanced. Yeah. So what am I saying? You realize that you need the two. That's the same way and the same approach as well. You must have. So we need to understand that we have come to existence needing one another. And we're together every single time. You need another person. You need another person. You need another person. So God has put in someone else what you need. Are we together? God has put in someone else what you need. So it means that if God puts in someone else something you need, you will not get it without interacting with the person. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You won't get it without having a relationship and interaction with the person. You won't get it. You need to be around them. You need to be around them because God has created us to be dependent on ourselves. You know, Moses will find himself in a situation where the children of Israel will be stressing him out. Bible will record that he will go and cry to God and say, Lord, I'm getting stressed. Why didn't God just say to him, why will you say you are stressed when I'm your strength and exceeding great reward? I was gonna, what did God say to Moses? Look for 70 men who are trusted, and I'll put the spirit upon you, upon them. I was gonna, right? There are certain things that God has put in others. That if you don't meet with those others, you will not have a taste of it. You will not have a feel of it. So don't live your life thinking that you are a one-man band. There's a name we call it. One-man army. Only you are the commander. Only you are the marcher. Only you are the drummer, the saxophonist, and the trumpeter. Only you. No. 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 God has put it. God has put it. He has designed it that way. You can't find one person who, even who you know in your life that you call jack of all trades. If you actually put them in the train, because somebody changed socket, you say he's an electrician. it's also easy as well in our world to think we don't need people because of YouTube. Because everything you want to change, somebody has done it on YouTube. If you want to say, how do you change this bulb? Somebody has changed it before. And you know, you choose if you are self-sufficient, you don't need that person on YouTube. Yeah, so God has put that desire by default. You need another person. Say, I need another person.
I need another person.
Come together. I need. You know that song says, "I need you to survive." It's true. I don't need anybody. Only me, I'm just on my own. You see, God speaks to me and speaks to me that kind. Now, what I hear is what they say. I don't understand. You see, even the person that even taught you some of those things, are we together? Those people teach things they don't believe in. Yeah? You don't need, for the Bible says, you need no man else to teach you. For the Spirit of God teaches you all things. Ha. No, that's not correct. Yeah? God has put by nature, God has put something else in somebody else. Are we together? Right? So there should be something that you bring to my life. There's something I bring to your life. Is that correct? There's something you bring to my life. There's something I bring to my life. So the question now becomes, why does God work with meetings? Or why are meetings important? It's simple. Like we said, it's because man is important to God. Men are important to God. That is why meetings with men will be important. So it means there are certain meetings we are going for. Even though we are good with men, we are meeting with God. Is that correct? We are meeting with God. Because man is God's method. Man is God's method. Yeah? Man is God's method. Man is God's method. So the concept of gathering and meeting with other people, other believers, is what you can see as essential for your living. Very important. You know, sometimes, you know, when I just come here and I just see, you know, people to interact with, it just lifts me up. Are we together? Right? Yeah, that's why we're here for ourselves. I went together. You know, sometimes I'll speak to some of you about the week, you know, and I'll hear some of the things that you people went through all through the week. I went together, and I'm still seeing that mindset, that attitude of positivity, God's power at work, and I'm on victory, so to say. I went together. Sometimes, you know what I go through, for instance, which I mean, you really will do, you know, but you just realize that the truth is that there are people who are going through worse. I went together. It sort of encourages you. It sort of puts you up. Are we together? So God has created a structure. Yeah? Right as you know, everything that God has done in the human race is woven around interactions of men with men. Everything. Everything God has done in the human race, right, is woven around interactions of men with men. Is woven around interactions with men. So our gathering together is very essential, rather. I said, everything God has done in human race is woven around interactions of men with men. So coming together is not just something we see as if you are available or it's an option. No, it's necessary and important. Very necessary and important. I'll say it one more time. Everything that God has done in the human race, right, is woven around interactions of men with men. Woven around interactions of men with men. Look at Acts chapter 1. Watch for close this morning. Look at Acts chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Praise God forever. Look at Acts 1 verse 16. Now, what happened? There's a man called Judas. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What did Judas do? He betrayed.
Yes.
Yeah. What is the solution to a Judas that betrayed?
Another man.
Another person. Is that correct? Yes. Now look at what happens in verse 16. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David speak about before concerning Judas, which was guided to them that took Jesus. Right? For he was numbered with us, and he had obtained a part of what? Are you looking at your Bibles? He had obtained what? A part of these ministries. Now look at verse 18. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bones gushed. Now, after this over time, that's a figure of speech. Yet Judas did not use the money they gave him to go and buy property. And after that, real estate, all of a sudden he gave up. No. It's the money that was supposed to be meant for him that was taken to buy a property for him. Are you sleeping in Christian meeting? You say yes. yes, everything. Yeah? Now look at verse 19. And it was known unto all that dwell in Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called what? In the Breton, Asil Demar. That is to say, the field of blood. Now look at verse 20. It is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Let no man dwell therein. But let his bishop break, let another what? Take it. That means somebody should replace him. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah? Wherefore of this man, which are company with us all the time, that the Lord went in and out amongst us. Beginning at where?
Beginning.
from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up. So they were looking for someone to replace Judas. What is the first criteria? Who has been coming for meetings? Are you here? Who has been coming? Then he said, we need to know who has a relationship with God in their private devotion. No. It is who has been coming for meetings. He said, who, since the church started. You know, we're going to look at that on Wednesday and next Sunday. Even Jesus needed to be in the meeting of John the Baptist. Is that correct? When John the Baptist baptized him. That was a meeting. You know, what was John the Baptist doing with his water? It was just a meeting point for people to come together. And we're together. Jesus had to be in that meeting. Even Jesus went for meetings. Then I said, who's going to replace Judas? He said, wherefore amongst these men who have come with us from the beginning? That means they've been coming to church and they don't miss church. Are we together? They've been coming to church, they don't miss church. They are always there. They are always present. Yeah? You know, there's some people in God's palace today. If they don't come today, you ask what is happening. And there are those, if they come, you ask what is happening. Are you here? There are those who will come. And you know, these are facts that are open to the eyes of everyone. Listen, if you don't come, there are those you know that, you know, there are those who I know, for instance, if I come to church, this one will be in church. This one will be in church. But this one, patience. Are we together? But guess what? There were two brothers who had consistently been, now mind you, when they were going for meetings, it was not with an end goal in mind to be able to replace Judas. Because they didn't even know that was going to happen to Judas. That means we come to meetings not with a sense or a mind of eye service. You know what eye service is? Service that is only seen by the eye. Not because of people's eyes. So they will say you came early. So they will say you were there. No. Bible says, wherefore choose among those people, right, who have company with us all the time. Listen to that statement. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 21. Wherefore these men which have company with us how many times? How many times? All the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. That means they were not leaders in the church, but they were always in the meeting. They were always going to be there. Bible says all the time, beginning from where? The baptism of John. How many years would that take minimum? An average of 2 to 3 plus years. Right? And in that, they were in all the meetings. They didn't miss a single meeting. Are we together? Right? Wherefore, this man which has company with us all the time, just went in and out among them, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken from us. That means when the church started, they were there. When Jesus died, they were there. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Right? They were there. It says, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? What did they now do? They appointed two of them. Which are two?
Yes,
Joseph called Barnabas. Who has a son named Justus and Matthias? And what happened? They prayed, right, and said, that thou, Lord, which knowest the heart of all men, show whether of these two that thou hast chosen, that he may take part in this ministry of apostleship, from which Judas by transgression what? Fell, that he might go to own his own place. And they gave up their lots, and the Lord fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the what? 11 apostles. So how many apostles did they now become? Yeah? How many apostles did they now become?
12.
Right? 12. Right? They became 12. Right? And they were 12, they became 11, they became 12. Right? So how did they, what were the criteria? This brother, if you look at the social media page, he's always preaching Jesus. No. It is, what is this brother's relationship with the local gathering? What, how does this brother attend meetings? How does he attend meetings? How does he get himself present in meetings? Are we together? So somebody who has been around meetings was how they chose the two people. So there's no other parameter for people who are personal, you know, I have a personal revelation from the Holy Ghost. No, it's not by that. It's by who has been around for time. Mind you, how many people did they need?
One.
How many people were the options?
Two.
How many people did they pick?
One.
So it means that on account of being present in meetings, you are building up strength and capacity to become a leader someday. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
You are building up strength and capacity to become a leader someday. Are we together? So you don't, now,
Why she don't join church with the mindset of you want to be a leader, let me be committed. You also ensure that you don't join church with a mindset saying that, I just want to just be quiet. I just want to attend and just be in the place and just, you know, when it just finished, I don't want to. Are we together?
Yes,
so, you know, those are two extremes. You join the church and say, this church, this is a growing church. If they see me pray for 3 weeks, they know I can pray. Pastor will hand over my to me and ask if you need prayer. All these are people that need prayer. They're just, you know, mumbling words. I want someone that will come with that fire. Are we together? Right? Yeah, that should not be your mindset. Also, your mindset must tolerate and accept that because you are going to be growing within the local church, within the gathering, there will be need for responsibilities to be given. Because think about it this way. Yeah? You know, imagine you can't compare someone who has listened to us in Gospel, for instance. You can't compare someone who has listened to us for 2 years and someone who has listened to us for 2 months. Are we together?
Yeah.
But you know, there's a tendency that someone can listen to you for two months. And you'll be able to teach as much as, you know, has been taught within those 2 months than you who has been around for 2 months, 2 years. That should tell you that you've been around for 2 years, there was nothing we could see. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Or there were certain things that we needed to give. You know, some people, you need patience. Let me tell you something. You know, the balance that comes with getting into certain positions like that comes with so many factors.
Yeah.
You can know how to teach the word. And it is a slant that I think needs to be patiently allowed to fade out. You will not still get into a position of leadership over someone who comes. So I'm trying to say it's not a matter of shortness of time or longness of time. They were not looking for these guys based on the fact that they've been marking attendance. It is, you could tell they were actively in ministry, such that behind their back, the leaders knew their names. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Behind their backs, leaders knew their names. They knew that, this person will be at this meeting. That person will be at this meeting. Altogether. So you must understand that meetings are very, 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 very important. From the baptism of John. What happened at the baptism of John? That's more of like the way where you see that ministry and Jesus commissioned into ministry. It says, so the day in which he was taken up, they showed up. Look at Luke chapter 2, from verse 44. Luke 4. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him, Lord, they turned back into Jerusalem, seeking him. Now what happens in verse 46? And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him where? In the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding. And is that Jesus Christ?
Yes,
so Jesus Christ went for meetings? God in the flesh went for meetings. I was together. Where did they find him? In meetings. I was together. So meetings are very important. So in our meetings are coming together, we hear God's voice, we hear God's word. I was together. We get ourselves to align our hearts to God's will and plan on the earth. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Look at someone around you and talk about